Friday, March 12, 1982, interview with Dorothy Davidson Tyner.
Stop. When we ended the last time, we were talking about when you joined the rent control board.
Yes. Not board. I went to work for the rent control as district supervisor in Anchorage. And then about 6 or 7 months later, I became the rent control attorney for Alaska.
Mm-hmm. For all of Alaska?
Yeah. I only needed one, really.
Mm-hmm. Were there attorneys underneath you?
No. Mm-hmm.
So you handled all the rent control cases?
All rent control cases.
How many were you handling?
There weren't too many. Most of them we worked out and settled, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't, I don't recall many court cases.
What kind of cases were they?
Oh. They were cases in which the rules or regulations of rent control were violated.
Mm-hmm.
We also had a community rent control board.
Mm-hmm.
So I attended all those meetings. And I don't recall whether I prosecuted any cases or not, really, during that period. I was only with them, that was 50 or 51.
Mm-hmm.
Probably 51. And then I went to, for rent control, I went to, as attorney for price control. And I moved to Juneau. That was in October of 52.
Mm-hmm.
And I was with a price control attorney. They called it OPS then.
Was it what had been OPA?
Well, similar.
Just a holdover?
No, it was restarted. That one was restarted.
Okay.
During the Korean War.
Mm-hmm.
And then they folded. No, they didn't fold. I quit. No, it did fold. It folded, I think, in the end of March, 1953. Then I went outside for a couple of months vacation. And in June, I came back to Seward.
Mm-hmm.
And I had some friends there that urged me to stay. So I was hired as a city attorney at that time.
And then, what kind of cases did you handle as city attorney in Seward?
I didn't have any lawsuits as city attorney.
Mm-hmm.
I simply advised the council and went to all the council meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, another attorney and I got through an ordinance through the city council, which was probably the first small claims act in Alaska. We had an act, but it, I think it had paid attorneys $10. And it wasn't much, really.
Mm-hmm.
But it gave us the city the authority, I guess. Or anyway, we passed this act. And we mimeographed forms, I think we mimeographed them,
mm-hmm.
so that people could act as their own attorney, or they could get an attorney for $10.
Yeah.
And because we had so many of those little things that we didn't want to be bothered with, and the city magistrate handled them.
Who was the city magistrate at that time?
She was also city clerk. remember her name.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of cases came under the small claims?
Mostly collections.
Was there a certain monetary limit?
Oh, yes. I've forgotten what it was. Mm-hmm. It wasn't very much. Probably $500.
Yeah.
But there were quite a few of them, and we didn't want to be bothered with them. So we got this, and I think there was a $5 filing fee, and it worked.
Mm-hmm. So they hadn't had anything before that, though? Not even an
inquiry? Not any place. As far as I know.
Mm-hmm. How long were you working as city attorney in Seward?
I worked there for three years.
Uh-huh.
And then the last year, Seward was getting pretty poor by then. It was kind of a booming community when I first arrived.
Is that why they could hire a city attorney?
Well, yes, and although they had had one.
Mm-hmm.
They had a local one they didn't like. He and I became good friends. Bob Baumgartner.
Oh.
He's an old Alaska attorney.
Yeah. Had he been practicing in Seward long?
I think yes. I think in the 30s.
Mm-hmm. Did he ever tell you about what it was like in the 30s?
Oh, he probably did. You know, mm-hmm. I know one time that, well, he was for statehood in the early 30s.
Mm-hmm.
He and Mr. Ray.
Did they practice together?
Not to my knowledge.
You're talking about L.V. Ray. Right? L.V.
Ray.
Did they call him L.V.? Or?
Yes. Okay. And, no, I don't know if they ever practiced together or not.
Mm-hmm.
But, they were both for statehood that early.
Yeah. Were there any other attorneys in Seward?
At the time I was there, there was one by the name of Gregory. I don't know if that was his last name or not. And he's the one that helped me write up the small claims ordinance. But Greg got into some serious trouble, and he was indicted for embezzlement. In fact, he embezzled, I think, $250 from my then husband's mother.
Who was your then husband?
Ben Walters. He's the father of Ben Walters, practicing law here now.
Oh.
And young Ben and I are pretty good friends.
How many people were in Seward when you were there?
Maybe 2,500 or less. But they had a new dock, and they had Alaska freight lines, truck lines, and they had a dock, and it was really booming. Then when the Anchorage port opened up,
mm-hmm.
things kind of went to pot and sword.
When was that?
Well, I don't know exactly when it opened up, but I know I came back up here in June of 57, because there just wasn't much business. Gregory wasn't there anymore. Bob and Baumgartner and I were the only lawyers in town. And
had L.V. Ray died?
Oh, he had died. I don't remember when, but mm-hmm. quite a long time ago.
But he was there when you first got into Seward?
No, he wasn't there then. It was before that he died.
Oh, he was. When did you meet him?
Oh, sometime in the 40s. I don't know. You know.
In Anchorage. Then.
In Anchorage is where I met him.
Yeah. What was it like practicing with Bob Baumgartner?
Oh, he was delightful. I remember one time the district court was down there, And Bob was then acting commissioner. And let's see, these people got a divorce in district court. And this man and his girlfriend walked down the hall and got married by Baumgartner the same afternoon.
Everybody waited to do everything when the district court came to town? Or?
Well, it was quite, yeah, all of our cases. I remember one time Stanley McCutcheon was down there before Judge McCary, and I had a lawsuit by Wells Irwin, the well-known Alaskan. Mm-hmm. He had a garage, and it was the suit was, oh, for non-payment of a repair bill. That's ERVIN. No, it wasn't Wells Irwin. Wells was his brother. He was up in Anchorage. I can't think of his name now. But he was the brother. Mm-hmm. And so I had a good case. And Stan was defending the defendant. And so, of course, Mr. Irwin was my first witness. Mm-hmm. And all was going well, and Stan started cross-examining. And he says, are you incorporated? Mr. Irwin says, yes. This I didn't know. Mm-hmm. He hadn't advised me.
Yeah.
He had come to Anchorage, and that made me mad, too, because I could have incorporated him. Mm-hmm. But he came to Anchorage and got an attorney up here to do that. And so then I asked for a recess. This was in the forenoon. So we could find the last... Well, we had to allege, and I could have amended the complaint, that the last annual report had been filed and that their capital taxes had been paid. Well, their accountants were in Anchorage. And they had no papers down there. We were on the telephone most of the afternoon. And we couldn't find out whether they had been or not. So the case had to be dismissed. And Stanley McCutcheon told me later that was a shot in the dark. He didn't know why he asked that question. He just did. And he thereby won the case. So those are little sidelights, you know, things that happen.
How often did the district court come down to simmer?
Oh, I don't remember. Maybe two or three times a year. Mm-hmm. I'm not real sure.
Yeah.
But they handled all the business that was inside, divorces largely, and so on.
Did you have to go up to Anchorage with your cases?
Oh, I came up here quite a bit, yes.
Are there any cases in particular that you remember as being funny besides the Dan McCutcheon one?
Well, I remember one because I didn't get paid for it. Well, that happened a lot of times, but mm-hmm. in this case, I was representing the husband of a woman that was, I thought, a witch, and he was not much better. And he was a gambler, and, you know. Mm-hmm. So, Judge McCary, and Gregory was representing the wife. Mm-hmm. So, Judge McCary called us in chambers. And it would have been a dirty, dirty case. Accusations on both sides, you know. Mm-hmm. So we settled it. McCary told us what he was going to do if we didn't. Yeah. Of course, he hadn't heard all the evidence. I don't remember now, but he hadn't heard all the evidence. But, so I recommended to my client, and Greg recommended to his client that we take this settlement. which was approved by the court, and that took care of that. Except that my client thought that Gregory and I had pulled a deal. He wouldn't pay me the balance of my fee. We had not pulled a deal. The judge pulled the deal, if there wasn't any deal, you know.
Mm-hmm. Did that happen a lot, where since there's so few lawyers in Seward, did they think?
No, I would say not. Mm-hmm. No.
At the most, there were 3 lawyers in Seward. Is that right?
So far as I know.
Yeah. You, Baumgartner, and Gregory. Was it easy to work that way? Was it easy to deal?
Oh, yes. We all got along real fine together. Mm-hmm. Well, in fact, boys got along with attorneys, most of them, you know. They're pretty good people, I think.
I wouldn't be doing this. After Seward, you come back up to Anchorage. Well, I wanted to ask you one other question about Seward. What was it like living with 2,500 people?
Very interesting.
And being an attorney, were you?
Well, it was at the point where I knew everybody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I used to go down to Seward quite often after I had moved back to Anchorage. You know, just for the weekend.
Yeah.
See everybody. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed it. But it reached the point I couldn't make a living there, so I came back to Anchorage.
That's because of the port, is that right? The
business? Largely.
Mm-hmm.
But it just sort of... Well, Seward was sort of a boom and bust town anyway. They'd boom for a while and then go down.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the earthquake wiped out their port, wiped out the whole dock.
Yeah.
An $8 million dock they built.
Oh, that's terrible.
So a lot of people left, a lot of those that I knew. So I don't know too many people down there anymore. I know a few of the old timers. But
did you know the Irwin brothers? Were they down there then?
Mm-hmm. I didn't know them. I knew their mother real well.
Uh-huh.
She was a lovely, lovely person.
Yeah.
I don't recall that I knew them then. They were either off to school or someplace. I don't know.
Yeah. When you came back to Anchorage, did you have a job or did you just leave Seward without a job?
No, I didn't have a job. Dave Talbot called me. Whoops.
The boom and bust.
Well, I think lawyers are the first ones that people don't go to if they don't have money, you know? In bad times, I think the lawyers lose before anybody else does.
Yeah.
Because people have to eat, they have to pay rent, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing, but they don't have to go to lawyers.
Are they less litigious when they have less money?
Well, I would think so.
Because now you just see them suing about everything.
Especially up here. I don't know about outside, but boy, they sure sue on the drop of a hat there.
Yeah, they really do. Was it always that way? Were they suing as much when you were practicing in Seward or in Anchorage in the 50s as they do now?
Oh, probably not as much, but there was. Of course, there weren't all that many lawyers either.
Mm-hmm.
Although there were quite a few in Anchorage by 1950 or 53.
When you got back to Anchorage, you were going to tell me about Dave Talbot. Dave
Talbot. Oh, David Talbot heard that I was coming back, and he called me, and he had an office he was moving out of.
Mm-hmm.
Asked if I wanted to rent it. I said, oh, boy, I sure do, you know. So I came up here. I had an office. And then some friends of mine retired and moved to a cabin up north, and they sublet their house to me. So I had a place to live mm-hmm. and an office.
Were you still married to Walters?
No, we got divorced.
In Seward,
mm-hmm. yes. Nice guy, but we just didn't vibrate together. So
save your office, and was it hard to set up a practice again, a private practice?
Well, I was a little surprised. Yes, it was, of course. I never did establish a good practice because of my absences from Anchorage, you know? Mm-hmm. You have to stay with it. You can't just move around like I did, although I enjoyed it. But I was a little surprised. A lot of my old friends came back. Mm-hmm. But I still didn't prosper as I wanted to. So in trying to think whether it was, I think it was in 1961. I went to work for Judge Hodge as law clerk.
Before we talk about that, did other lawyers help you with your practice when you came back? Would they refer cases as they had in the past?
Oh, not particularly. There were so many new ones that I didn't even know.
Yeah.
You know, I got acquainted with them, more or less, but, you know, not like the old mm-hmm. friendships that were established earlier.
Yeah. Who were some of the early people, what were they doing now? You were talking about Ed Davis and Renfrew.
Well, let's see, in 59 or 60, I believe it was 60, when the court system was established.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Ed Davis became a judge. Who else became a judge? Nesbitt. Of course, Judge Diamond. What's his name? The son of Tony.
John.
John Diamond. I can't remember the first judges that were here. Do you know?
No, I don't know them all. Butcher.
I think he came a little later. Yeah. After, I think he took... I don't know.
You got back to Anchorage in 57?
Right.
In 57. Was Renfrew still here?
Renfrew had rather quit practicing. He said it was no fun to practice anymore when McCary was judge.
Why?
I don't know. They just didn't get along. And at any rate, he had it made. They had interest in gold and sundry other things, so he didn't have to practice, so he didn't. Mm-hmm. And
did he make his money from practicing or from business interest?
Both. But a lot of it was practice because he had a lucrative criminal law practice.
Mm-hmm. How can you have a lucrative criminal law practice?
I don't know, but he did. Because in the 40s there was lots of money here.
Where was it from? What was it from the war or?
Mostly. Mm-hmm. See, the military expanded and there were lots of people in town, around here. And population was growing. Business was growing.
Mm-hmm.
And there was lots of business.
So he made his money in the 40s, is that right?
Well, 40s and early 50s. I don't know when he died. He died in a plane, which was what he would have pleased to do, you know. He loved to fly. Yeah. I mean, he was a good attorney. They had a story going around that Renfrew and Davis, Davis was the lawyer, student. Renfrew didn't know any law. He was just a good trial attorney. Well, that wasn't true. Renfrew knew plenty of law. He really did. He didn't have to look it up. He knew it. Well, I'm sure he looked up a bit of law, you know. But he was pretty smart. And Davis was not the best trial attorney. And he knew it, so he let Bill take care of the trial work. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he did do some research for him. But on the other hand, Davis, Renfrew knew plenty of law.
I heard he was very good in the courtroom.
Oh, he was excellent.
Did you watch him? Do you remember any cases?
I remember one I had against him.
Not everybody remembers the ones I had against Renfrew. Yeah?
Well, he beat me. But it was a jury trial. My client and a friend, according to my client's story, were eating ice cream cones and crossing the street on 4th Avenue, and a bus hit my friend. So I brought suit. Davis and Renfrew were representing the insurance company. And they had an affidavit from the bus driver that the guy was drunk and walked into the bus. Well, so we worked out a settlement for $750 for my client. And so the check came. My client wouldn't accept it. You want to go ahead with the lawsuit? I said, all right, get another attorney. I've had it because of this affidavit. Mm-hmm. I didn't think I could win. So I called Bailey Bell. You've heard of Bailey Bell.
Oh, yeah.
And he agreed to take the case if I would stay in with him. So I said, all right, I'll sit with you, but you're going to handle it. And so we were on trial, and for Judge Diamond. And we, well, the reason we lost the case is because Mr. Bell goofed it up, but in the meantime, the bus driver had been fired, so he changed his testimony. On the stand, he said that the bus did hit this guy.
Mm-hmm.
So we had the case. I felt elated.
Yeah.
So then Mr. Bell got up and castigated Davis and Renfrew, particularly Renfrew, because he was trying it, for obtaining a false affidavit, the original, from the bus driver.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it ruined us, because it wasn't true. It was, you know? And Renfrew told me later that we had the case won if Bailey kept his mouth shut. Then I was sorry that I hadn't kept on, but I didn't know that this guy was going to change his testimony. Of course, I don't know which testimony was correct. He might have been mad at the bus company, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Then another funny incident happened. There was this friend that he was with, was a big, tall, rather nice-looking old man with a beard, you know, very neatly trimmed for court. Mm-hmm. And Bill knew him. He was a trapper. And he was on the stand, gave his testimony, which supported my client. And so Bill said, "You drink a lot, don't you?" And he says, "Only when I come to town," which is only twice a year. Mm-hmm. And he said, Bill says, "The only reason you don't drink out in the boondocks is because you can't get a hold of any booze, isn't it?" Mm-hmm. The guy sat up and he says, "I could make it, couldn't I?" Even Judge Diamond laughed. Those are just funny little things that happen.
They're
you know?
wonderful. Yeah. I mean, you don't see that sort of thing in court. People are so serious.
Oh, he was a delightful old man.
Was the bar still having meetings together?
I don't recall that I went much. I joined again, mm-hmm. but there were so many I didn't know. It wasn't the fun it used to be, you know?
Yeah.
So, but we used to have what we called the East Side and the West Side Bar Association. That was informal.
Yeah.
The East Side Bar Association had lunch a place on 4th that's no longer here now.
What's the name of it?
It was the Hofbräu, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so I used to go to that one. Then the West Side Bar had a luncheon place someplace west of that. I don't remember where that was. I never did attend that one.
Mm-hmm.
But these were just little gatherings, you know.
Who went to them?
All the lawyers in the area.
Were there any ones that were particular? That you stand out in your mind as?
Not particularly. They were not, I don't know.
Is Grigsby still around in Butcher?
Who?
Grigsby?
Oh, Grigsby died long years ago.
Was he, he died before these East Side and West Side bars?
Oh, yes.
We did.
Oh, yeah.
About what time is this?
Oh, dear, I don't remember.
Must be in the 60s sometime.
No, it was before that.
It was.
I think. Well, George became. Let's see. No, it was in the late 50s, I think. But he became rather senile.
Mm-hmm.
And Butcher helped him a lot. Loaned him money and never got it back.
Yeah.
And because George spent his money as fast as he made it. And then he, he'd wander out in the middle of the intersection, across the streets. He didn't pay any attention to lights. Everybody was worried about him, afraid he'd get killed, you know. And he was still nominally president of the, bar. But, see, Nesbitt was vice president, and he really took in charge of the Bar Association.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a movement, and this was, I think it was about 1950. Among the younger members of the bar to get rid of George as president. And they asked me if I would go along with them. And I said, "No way. George is George, and he's going to stay president as long as he wants to be."
Mm-hmm.
It meant a lot to him. Even though he couldn't accomplish anything, you know.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, It isn't George that doesn't accomplish anything. It's the members of the bar that didn't accomplish anything. He'd appoint committees and they wouldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. And so, and at any rate, he was never replaced, but as nominally he was president. But old George asked me to go into practice with him.
You were going to go into practice with him?
George asked me to.
Oh, he asked you too. Okay.
Well, by that time he was kind of in bad shape.
Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't see it.
When was that?
Oh, it was sometime in the 50s. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I think it was while I was still in Seward, but I was up here. Some reason or other, I went in and talked to him.
Yeah.
Oh, George and I used to meet in the post office way back when, in the 40s.
Yeah.
We all had mailboxes, you know. So we all had to go to the post office to pick up our mail. And frequently I would run into George. He always had a funny story to tell you. Come here, Dorothy, I want to tell you a story.
Remember any of
them? No. As I think I said before, Wendell Kay and I were always going to get together with George and a tape recorder.
Yeah.
And get him telling stories, but we never did get around to it. Wendell probably remembers more of those stories than I do.
Who were the members of the bar when Big C was president in the early years?
Well, I showed you that picture.
And that was it? The 1945 picture? I still have it.
There was well, the ones not in the picture are I think Butcher. I don't know if he's in that picture or not.
I don't think so.
And Renfrew wasn't in the picture.
Did Renfrew not like getting his picture taken?
Well, he just didn't happen to come that day,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I don't remember who they all were, you know. I think,
yeah.
But when I first came here, there were only 12 members of the bar.
Mm-hmm.
But then it rapidly increased.
And that's in the 40s. So by the time you came back in the 50s, it was much larger.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You were going to tell me about when you went to Nome and in front of Judge Kehoe.
No, I wasn't in front of Judge Kehoe.
Oh, was
it? We had a... Let me get a... Okay, the trip to Nome. At the time, Stanley McCutcheon was... Oh, Stanley was one of the original members, you know. I think he was in that picture, though.
Yes, he was.
At any rate, he was president of Alaska Airlines at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So George Grigsby had not been back to Nome for 17 years. So somebody brought up the idea of us chartering a plane and going to Nome for the weekend.
I think I told you
yes, about that.
Yes, and everyone got plastered on the way going, right?
Well, because the airplane didn't take off for about 3 or 4 hours. We were out at the airport. Oh. Yeah. Didn't I tell you about that?
Yes,
and then Judge Kehoe met us?
Yeah, you did. I don't know why I didn't...
I thought I did.
Oh, I know you did. I remember the story.
It was quite a trip.
Yeah, it sounds like one. Okay, well then let's get back to the 1950s and are there any good stories from the 1950s or all the stories from the 1940s?
most of them are from the 40s, I think. And I went to work with Judge Hodge.
Uh-huh.
And worked for him until he retired, then went to work for Judge Plummer.
Now, was Judge Hodge district court judge?
Right.
And you were his law clerk?
I was his law clerk.
For how long?
Well, until he retired, and then it was only a few years, and then I went to work for Judge Plummer as law clerk.
And that's when he was district court judge?
Right.
Okay.
And I don't remember when he came on, but I did some work for him before Judge Hodge left.
Yeah.
Judge Hodge was quite ill, and I don't know if Plummer didn't have a law clerk or what happened, but at any rate, he asked me to work for him, so I did. And in all, it was about 8 years
mm-hmm.
with both of them.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the work, I enjoyed the research. Particularly federal law,
mm-hmm.
it was very interesting. I enjoyed meeting all the attorneys, and a lot of them came in to my office and talked to me.
Uh-huh.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And, but then a committee of the Bar Association said that the Magistrates Court became the District Court. That was, what, 68? So they were going to appoint new judges, district court judges. And my association appointed a committee to recommend and canvass candidates that they wanted to be judges.
Mm-hmm.
And so Buckaloo, a member of the committee, Judge Buckaloo, whom I knew very well, asked me if I would run.
Mm-hmm.
As the committee had chosen me. So I discussed this with Judge Plummer, and he said, why not? I said, go ahead. So I applied and was appointed.
And this is in the late 60s that you were appointed?
It was 69. Yeah, I was appointed December 31st of 68, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to work in January of 69. And I later heard that the Attorney General had called Judge Plummer, and that Judge Plummer told him that I was capable of handling any judgeship in the state.
Oh, how wonderful.
Which made me feel real good.
Yeah.
So, I was appointed by Governor Hickel.
Who was the Attorney General at that time? That's an unfair question.
I can't remember. Was it Kent Edwards?
It could have been.
I believe it was Kent Edwards, but I'm not sure. So, I was district judge until
1977. What was it like to be district judge?
It was fun and interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And a real busy time,
mm-hmm.
believe me. But I sort of got burned out on drunk driving charges and all these things, you know.
Yeah.
So much of the same. I'm not much for, I guess that's why I did so many different things. I'm not much for staying in one spot and doing the same things. Wrote. I hate housework because it's the same thing over every day. You know?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And some of the girls asked me shortly after I was on the bench if I wasn't real nervous. And I said, no, the courtroom is my home.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there all my life, you know? I love it.
Yeah.
I love the courtroom. Really do.
Are there any kind of cases that you particularly like to handle?
I preferred civil cases, but I didn't get too many of them.
Mm-hmm. Why not?
Well, we didn't have too many, really. Most of the district court work is criminal. There's mm-hmm. so much criminal work there.
Yeah.
I had a few that I really enjoyed. Because I preferred the civil work.
Mm-hmm.
You've read about this Mr. Wood that...
Yeah.
I kind of don't blame him. I do think we should take appointments.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree with him on that, because I think that's part of a lawyer's duty.
Mm-hmm.
But if he is not a criminal lawyer, I don't think he should... I agree with him that ethically he could not handle a criminal case. I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what's going to happen. Now, I don't know why. I read in the paper that Moody asked him to pay a criminal lawyer for taking the case because he couldn't. I don't understand that. I don't know why he should have to do that.